And so then through the stuff kind of that you saw with that one, now the world looks different, but not so scary, but still scary. But
it's scary because you just realize that there are so much of traps out there. And you watched Devil's Advocate, right?
Oh yeah, I saw
okay.
that.
It's like he chooses one path and he doesn't, you know, it's a choice.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you go through one path, you know, there's a trap, and, you know, he lies about it, about the man's guilt, and then he, you know, falls into the devil's trap. But, you know, then they show going back and then choosing another path. But then that is another play of pride.
He's getting set up again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's scary.
Well, good lead in then to today, because, you know, kind of one of the things that tonight we're going to start another series. may not be as long as the last one, but like you mentioned, okay, you saw that movie where, okay, this guy's trying to go one path and he gets into a trap, and then he tries to go another path and he falls into another trap. Basically, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end it leads to death. So so you see how just everywhere you would try to go in this world, in your own knowledge, your own understanding, how you would always get snared, how you'd always get caught, you would always fall to one trap or another that the devil sets up for you. So the truth of it is that the only way out is really Jesus. And but that he's also a way, and he's the way through the minefield. So, because basically all of those are landmines, you know, and each one of those traps and snares that the devil puts there, they're designed to catch you and to keep you, and then to suck you dry, and then just to take the soul in the end. But it's so, like, each one of those places is just another hook. And but it's the Spirit of God that leads and guides people through those areas, through those places. And so he'll show you yes, no, left, right, not yet, okay, now, all right, things are finished, time to move on, you know, not. I mean, he does this. It's amazing. Because there's this element of, okay, God is ever present. God is I am. Jesus is I am. But also, when he functioned and was in time, he operated a certain way while he was here. And there were times when people said, Jesus, you need to do this or you should do this. And he's like, no, this is, you know, you're not thinking the way I'm thinking. You're not in the timing that I'm in. Like when they told him to go up to the feast, and they said, you know, Jesus, you should go up to the feast because anybody that wants to be a public figure, you know, you should go there and make a big show of yourself, basically. He's like, no, it's not my timing yet. And he went later. Then with Lazarus, when Lazarus died, you remember they were saying, okay, okay, when Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, but they said to him, Jesus, Lazarus is that he's sick. And Jesus delayed going back there for a couple more days, and he died. And then when they're asking him, you know, and he said, well, he's sleeping. And then when they thought, oh, if he sleeps, he'll get better. And then he just told them point blank, look, he's dead, you know. And he says better. And he was happy that he was glad that he didn't go yet, because there was also an element of his timing, but also that he didn't want them to get sucked up into this guy's death and to miss what God was also doing there. So God, through that, you know, raised Lazarus from the dead, and just, he did a bunch of other things there. But Jesus was always in, during his time in the world, there was an element of who he was, where he was, when he was there. He was always in this perfect timing. You know, he never missed a beat. You know, even when he was coming into Jerusalem, there was, he said, oh, there's a, go to this place, there's going to be a donkey, there's going to be a colt that's tied there, and pick the colt up, bring it back here, and when they ask you, you know, about it, tell them that the Lord needs it, and he'll send it back here afterwards. And sure enough, they go there, they find a colt tied there that nobody's ever ridden. And then some people are like, hey, what are you doing? They're like, wait, they tell them exactly what Jesus told them to say. So it's amazing. You know, there's just this element that it must have been phenomenal to be, just to watch Jesus move and to act and to react and just how he flowed through the world. But also, Christ in us, the hope of glory, there's that same, the leading of the Spirit actually ends up doing the exact same thing with God's people, those ones that are truly His, those ones that are born of Spirit. So, the series that we're going to be starting, I guess a loose title for it is probably be Walking in Spirit. But basically, how now do we walk? How now do we go through this life? Because if you are, if you're okay, because there is ways that, I mean, you're giving that analogy of that movie, how people, you know, just continuously get trapped. You know, but the thing about it is when you walk in spirit, you just kind of walk through each one of those, and God is always protecting you, God is always watching over his people. It's the analogy that I kind of use. It's like, you know, imagine if you just learned how to play the game of chess. You know, somebody just taught you the basic moves of each piece, and then you sit down now across from Bobby Fischer, who was like the greatest chess mind that ever, you know, or Deep Blue, which is the computer or something. But just basically, you sit down across from somebody, now you're supposed to play this game, and you have no hope of winning. You don't know all the moves, strategies, everything else. This other, your opponent, is far more advanced than you are. But what happens is when you step into spirit is that he gives you each move. And so what happens is, so you start this thing, you start this match, and you have to play because everybody's stuck. They come into this life, you're all in the chess game. But the Spirit of God says, okay, rook to b5, pawn to a1. So you don't necessarily know all that's going on in that game. You just know the next move the Father tells you. But that happens to be the way through the whole thing. And in the end, you actually do end up coming through it, overcoming. You know, to him who overcomes. That's what Jesus says. He says, I overcame the world. And in Revelation 2 and 3, the word to every single church is that they need to overcome. So, to him who overcomes, then it's just like, that's it. So we all have to overcome in this life. So, we're walking this thing out. Okay, so since we're doing a Bible study, let's do study the Bible. John chapter 3. A lot of bookmarks today. Okay, John chapter 3, and verse 3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, he's talking to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So, alright, I'll say that again. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So, anyone that's born of the Spirit is like this. according to Jesus. So, because you know, you've heard people say, oh, you need to be born again, and you need to do, and you've heard these words tossed around. There's a lot of religious jargon that people throw around, and they don't know what it means. But Jesus, you know, even where he said, all right, you know, somebody needs to be born of the Spirit, then he also said, oh, and if somebody's born of the Spirit, you know, this is kind of what they're like. So you get an idea of, because, excuse me, because there's a lot of people that claim labels, and there's a lot of people that will use labels and religions to justify themselves and their actions and all. But there's a difference between those that are his and those that are not, those that walk in spirit, those that don't. So if someone is born of the Spirit, then they're like this according to Jesus. So they'll go where the Spirit of God would lead them. They do whatever the Spirit of God would tell them to do, and they would live their life in connection and in following Christ.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're all God's children, every single one of us. Why are only some selected to be?
Actually, we're not all God's children. Because it says in Scripture that God made some for himself and some for the world. It also, even Jesus, while he was here, he called some people children of the devil. And so also there's parables that he used as well, where he said the parable of the wheat and the tares, and he said that they both grow together, and basically like the wheat is his, and then the enemy comes, sows tares right there growing with the wheat. It's growing right there, right next to the wheat. And the angels say, well, you know, what should we do? Should we pull it out? And he says, no, you might damage the wheat. He said, let it grow together, and then at the harvest, you know, then pull it all up, and we'll separate the wheat from the tares at that time. The wheat you bring into my barns, and the tares you'll toss into the fire. So, no, we're not all children of God. And see, that's because, and see, this is again where sometimes people, they struggle, because they have this you know, God is love, and God is he's love, he's also judgment, he's also has wrath, he also has so there's other aspects to him than just love. He's not a big care bear. So but the truth is that we are not all God's children. Jesus said, whoever is not for me is against me. So there is again that, and it's hard when again, and we do have enemies, and the way that we respond to them is we're supposed to love our enemies, pray for those who persecute us. But we still have very real enemies, and there are those in this world that are legitimate children of the devil. That's who they belong to spiritually. That's who they're sold out to. And for those, they are working to do the bidding of their father and their master, which is the devil. And so, and what's happened is too, is a lot of what's taking place even in the earth today is those ones carrying out the will of their father to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and you see the ramifications of that all around us. So, yeah, I know it's a little bit hard to see, because, or hard to, there is a different plane of existence where when you're there, and even in spirit that's available even now, but when you're there, that those really are all God's children, those really are all God's people. But here, this life in this world is very much, it's kind of like the stage where everything's being played out. So this is the clash between them. This is the light and the dark, and you know, the whole drama of good and evil and God's purpose, that all of that is being played out here on this stage. So on that stage, God has made some for the world, like props on the stage, that even they serve a purpose, but they're not, they don't, in the end, they're disposable. They're not, so, and the question too sometimes even becomes, well, in the end, are they really real? You know, are they just really dramatic parts of the dream? Yeah, okay, well, but because you know, here's, see, sometimes too, we want, we, you know, it's hard because sometimes we want to see, we don't want to think that somebody could be
purposefully
evil, but they are. And scriptures talk about that. Scriptures are very clear about people that are that can't sleep until they make somebody fall. That they can't. Their purposes, that's the thoughts of their mind, the meditation of their heart is on evil. Just even as the people of God, their heart and their connection is towards good. They are energized by evil. They are empowered when they do that. So now, God has people that may be bound into that system that He pulls out and rescues, but those He knows. But then there's other ones that is God is allowing them to do that, and even out of that, He's glorified with everything that they, that with all that we come through because of what they do to us and to the world, and even what we come through in that process. Does that make sense? So, there are people that are purposefully, deliberately, they've also been taken over. In that, we kind of talked in previous lessons how we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians 6. So, there are people that, all right. So, kind of how sometimes it's worked.
So
what happens is, all right, life is beating the snot out of them, and they're like, gosh, I just, you know, I can't make it in this world. It's so hard to make everything work, and I just want a little bit of relief. And here comes demonic forces, you know, ultimately subservient to Lucifer in one way, shape, or form, and they say, oh, look, if you just want everything to, you know, if you really just, you know, give up that soul of yours by your free will, because God honors free will, and the devil's got to, he can't trump that, so it takes your act of your free will, but basically just saying, look, you know, give it up and, you know, you'll get a bowl of soup, or give it up and you'll get position, or whatever it is that you get an offer. And so what happens is, so they give it up and they're like, okay, you know, I do want to take that offer. So just like Jesus was made an offer in Luke 4, where the devil said, you know, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world, they get some sort of offer, and for to be something in the world, and in exchange for their allegiance to the world, they get something, but they also give up something. So the checks that they start getting, they get, there's not being paid, you know, they're getting paid because they're now part of the system. And so, but what happens is, it's not them anymore either. So because they open themselves up like that, they open them, so they give place to the devil, and then they're opened up now for spirits to come in and to oppress, to use, to, so it's not even them anymore. So it's like they're, and that's why too, sometimes you meet somebody that you knew, you know, 10 years ago, that, and it's just like, and they're not even the same person anymore. You look into their eyes and it's just like, it doesn't even look like anybody's home. You know, it's just like, it's just a different person that's even there, because really they're not there anymore anyways. It's because, and it's crazy sometimes when you think, okay, somebody gave up their soul to, you know, get a junk job at, you know, some convenience store, or some the devil will buy them cheap if he can. But because if somebody doesn't know the value of what they have too, you know, it's just like, oh, okay, you know, just to make it stop, you know, they, and it's just like, and then we God's people hold on to Him, and He brings them through and delivers them from that. But we're also made differently. So the thing about us too is that we are made and formed and fashioned in a different way, where we do belong to Him. And so even if His ones tried, they're still never accepted by the world. They still never fit, because so the world will just try to put them in a place where they can drain them off like a battery and use them, but they still are not. So they just, you'll never be family, basically. So in your jobs and your work and all of those things, realize that, you know, it's like you will never be family in those situations, that they won't ever receive you, you know, as, so it's like, so even kind of as we talked about the world before, how, you know, when, like, yeah, you still won't be accepted in there. But ours is to not go that way. It is a different way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And just like He is a way, there's also a way of the world. So there's another way that people go. And that way ultimately leads to destruction. And those that choose it by their free will, they choose that path. So the allegiance to the world in exchange for provision and to be something on the stage for a little while. But ultimately, cut off from God. So, okay. So, with this one that we're talking about, now there's some assumptions that, as we're kind of starting this set of walking in spirit, there's some assumptions that, you know, have to be made going into this series, because it doesn't apply to everybody. You know, sometimes it's like, you know, people, they want every teaching to apply to everybody and just like this. No, this set will really be only useful to a certain set of people in this that are existing in the world right now. Right, I'll give you some criteria. One, that God has woken them up in that they've begun the process of knowing Him. They've started on that way. That their spirit has been quickened by the Spirit of God. He's drawn them unto Himself. So their eyes have been opened to who He is, that who Jesus is, and so they've that's happened. Also, that they really want His will, and not just so they can consider it, but they can actually do it. I remember there was a friend of mine in India. One time he was a preacher there, and he said most people want to know the will of God so that they can consider it, not so that they can actually do it. And this set is not going to be of any value to them, because it's for people that truly want to do God's will. So God would speak and they would go that way. God would direct and that would be their choice. For those that would consider, it's like it's not going to work for them, because those that will walk in spirit are those that are being led by the Spirit of God, by the voice of the Spirit. Okay. The third one is that they'd be open for whatever it may entail. So your expectations are set aside, and you take whatever it is that God has for you. So they hold nothing. In that, really, it's to give up every expectation, every hope, every desire, and to submit that to the Lordship of Christ. And in doing that, for then to allow for whatever it is that God has for you. So it's like, if whatever He would give, whatever He would return, whatever He would say, this is for your life, it's like, cool, because it comes from Him. You know that, and you know that it's blessed when it comes from Him, because He knows, again, what we need, not necessarily what we think we need. And they're different. And actually, whatever He gives us is always good for us, even if we don't understand it at the time. But those that would walk in spirit would go that way. So they would say, all right, Lord, you know, really, I lay down and I lay aside my expectations and what it is that I hope for, out of and in this life in exchange for whatever it is that you would give and lead and direct and offer me. And because really what it means to like the whole act of baptism, when people do that, it's a symbolic representation of a spiritual reality that took place where we died in Christ and excuse me, we died in Christ and we're now raised. It's a new life in Him. So what is who people see, what is here now, is really Christ in us, the hope of glory that exists in the world. So it's Him living through us here, not us ourselves. So the old person died with Him. It died 2,000 years ago on a cross with Him. That's that person and the sinful nature and all of that died with Him. And it's buried with Him. And what's new, what comes after that, is His resurrected life in us. That's what's living, and that's what we're walking out with. So it's a representation of that. So again, so if we're dead to this world, then we really are dead to expectation and to what it is that we wanted to be before in this world. So it's like, you know, like that question people ask, you know, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's like, well, now I'm whatever it is that God would want me to be. And I'm in Him, so it's already sealed anyways. So it's this process of seeking Him for that, though, and allowing Him to unveil and to reveal that. Now, one of the cool things is that God, He also has, there's a lot of variety. So it's like when somebody actually submits their life to Him. See, it's a matter of trust. Most times people don't want to because they've been sold a false bill of goods about what that really means. But the people that actually follow Him truly have the most amazing, fulfilled lives. And the world is always in a shell looking to try to create something that's similar, but they can't, so they sell an illusion. But really, His followers are the ones that have all the fun. They really do. And not necessarily that they don't have difficulty. Of course, they have tremendous difficulty that they go through. But their lives are incredibly... what's the right word here? There's a lot going on. And it's a full life. It's a maximized life. But it takes us letting go of our expectation and our plan and our will and His will to be done. So that's again Matthew 6:10, where Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. That is that prayer is that He taught us to pray, is deliberately submitting our will, plan and purpose to His will, plan and purpose. So we do that. That's a prayer that we pray, deliberately making that break from, all right, Lord, whatever it was that I was thinking, I leave that before You. You direct, You lead, You guide. And it's truly a genuine dying to self. It's a process that happens too, and it doesn't necessarily happen all at once, because it's a path that He takes us on, but you don't run away from that. What happens is He'll take you through to a place where, just like Jesus, you would die to yourself and to this world and to every expectation. And I see that struggle that Jesus went through in Gethsemane, you know, really being that for Him. The battle was fought and won there. You know, that's where He struggled. He wrestled with it. He wrestled with His humanity, and He said, like, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. And He said, but nevertheless, again, not My will, but Thine be done. That was the struggle. And God brought Him to the place to die to Himself and to the world, to literally to go through that in that place, and then He walked it out in the natural when He actually went to the cross and He did all of that. But the fight had to take place there. You know, He had to fight that thing out through in spirit. And just like He told the disciples, He told those guys, He was like, look, you know, pray that you fall not into temptation. Pray. It's like, can't you guys even pray for an hour? I mean, pray. And they weren't. And then what happened? That they just all, when the time came, it's like they were gone. You know, these are the same guys who are like, Lord, we'll die with you. And it's like, yeah, and then, you know, where'd you go? You know, and he said, no, actually, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster even crows, that you even know me. So it's a path that he takes us through, though. But again, there's different stages even in this. But one of the keys is just saying, all right, Lord, I'll go your way. And this is one of the things that happens in that, is that ultimately you give up the expectation that you have for whatever it is that he has. And you say, all right, Lord, you... Now, and what's interesting, though, sometimes, too, and I've seen, is like sometimes things that you gave up, he may give back. But it's really from him. And to us, it's like whether... It didn't matter either way, but it was like him saying, okay, you know, I just wanted to do this my way. Yeah, it's my thing, not yours. But here, I'll give it back to you now, but, you know, don't hold it. But it's just, it's now, it's the right time, or now it's, you know, now I can do something with it, or you're ready for that. Or, but you have to give it over to him. Sometimes he doesn't. You know, sometimes it's something completely different. I know I had a completely different plan for my life than what's happened, or what, but I look back and I wouldn't change any of it, because I'm so happy for the adventure that he's taken me on as well. It's really been tough sometimes, but it's cool because it's the right way. I mean, I look back and I'm like, there's so many other ways it could have gone. I was like, no, this was it. It still is. So, okay. Another one is for assumptions about people that would, that who this applies to. Committed to walking out life in repentance with Christ. So, 1 John, let's see here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6 says, whoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. And chapter 5 verse 18, same book, says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Basically, there is for those that choose to walk in spirit. It's not that you don't mess up, but your deliberate decision by your free will is God your way, not mine. And one of, all right, Lord, anything that would block or hinder my connection with you, I don't want it. You know, it's gone. Anything that would corrupt or go against what you show me in your word, and it's cool, it's out, it's gone. Show me how. Strengthen me to do that. Strengthen me to walk this out. But basically, you want to walk... See, the world embraces sin. And there's a way even in the world that it chooses that. So it's a... Whereas the people of God, they go another direction. So that's why too, even when somebody that walks with God, when they mess up, it just grieves them, because it's not because they even messed up, because they know they hurt God's heart. So it's like they know that what has happened is like, it's not, they know that's something that hurts God's heart, and that hurts their connection with Him, and it hurts them that they've hurt Him, and it's just like, and they don't want that, because like God, they want His path, His way, His plan, His purpose. So it's like they don't want to justify or try to rationalize it. They're just like, God, I don't want that. So it's a struggle that they sometimes go through. Paul was talking about it when he said, you know, that the when he was struggling with his battle with his own flesh. He's like, the flesh warreth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And I think it's Romans 7 where he's talking about that. But basically, this body of death. So he's even struggling with a sinful nature that's at work inside of him at the same time that the Spirit of God is in there, and he doesn't want to do the things that are there. His choice, his path is the way of truth. His path is the way away from that. But it's still the struggle that he's facing there. But the people of God choose they want his way. And it's a way of also of repentance, which is basically turning away from and turning to the Father and going that way. Now, you don't live in any kind of guilt or shame for whatever's happened or done. It's whatever's done is done. If there's some consequences that need to be dealt with, cool, go through it. But it's like, whatever it is, there's a break now, and I walk with the Father from here on out. And just like, just, that's kind of the way to go. Okay. And one more assumption. A lot of assumptions. Okay. Is that for people who this would apply to, is they are committed to absolute truth. So John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me or except through me. So wait, let me find it really quick. John, Johann. John 14 verse 6. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he is truth. Jesus said, I am truth. So it's like, so there's a commitment to absolute truth in those that would walk in spirit. So there and there is that standard. There is that God is truth, and so because of that, it's like they're committed to him. And so whatever's the lie, whatever's of the lie, it's like, no, that I'm not playing that game. You know, homie don't play that. They used to say, homie don't play that. Basically, like, I don't want that. I'm not going that way. There's a commitment to truth and to absolute truth, and however God will reveal that to them. So he reveals it, though. Okay. So that said, so this series would be useless on most Sundays in most places, because for the vast majority of people, because just even as we started going through those, it's like most people wouldn't choose this. But then again, too, with that being the case, and Jesus said those that are born of the Spirit, this is what they're like. Most people really haven't been born of the Spirit. So they've prayed some prayer, and somebody told them, now, okay, you're okay, now just come here and sit for the next 15 years and give some money every time the basket comes by. But the truth is that they've not been... this is useful for those that will walk this out. Jesus, you notice how many times Jesus was walking? Whenever you look and you start reading about him in the scriptures, it just seemed like he was always walking somewhere. I mean, he really was. He was just like, he was, and he's taking people somewhere. And even when you walk, if you walk with somebody, what do you do while you're walking?
Talk.
You talk, exactly. And so he was always, when they're walking, they're going somewhere, everything is always changing. Your environment's always changing around you when you're walking somewhere. You're not stagnant. And so things are externally are changing, but in the whole time, he's sharing and teaching and imparting and revealing something. And if somebody says, nope, this is good enough for me, I'm staying right here, he kept going. And so if he kept going, it's like, okay, you heard something from him sometime back somewhere. What did he say? But he's still moving, still talking, still sharing. And the Spirit of God is doing that to this very day. And anybody that goes with him walks with him in spirit, so they're constantly in that dialogue. So even if you see them in some place for a little period of time, that's just because that's where the Spirit of God has them. So it's not because they're stagnant and that they've stopped, but that's basically where the Spirit of God said, alright, here we are, now we're going to stay here for a little bit, and then we're going to go on from here to this next thing. So they're always going somewhere with the Spirit of God. Now, okay, but versus those that said, all right, Lord, thank you for helping me and healing me of my liver cancer or whatever, and so now I want to get back to my life or my desires or my plans or my ambition or whatever it is. And they stopped. They didn't go anywhere with him. You remember?
How do you know, I mean, for a person?
Yeah.
Personally. How do you know whether you're born in the Spirit?
Ha! Okay. Well, okay. First of all, do you have that witness within your spirit, within your own heart? Do you know him? Do you hear his voice? If somebody's like, all right, the Spirit of Christ will bear witness within your own spirit that you are his. There's a peace that he gives to those that are his. Each person, he reveals it to them for himself. See, what happens, most people will seek the validation of a person, of a man, to tell you, okay, if you say this prayer, if you come to this meeting, if you do these five steps, here is this checklist, and so, okay, now you've done all of those things, okay, now you are okay. But really, inside of that person's heart, nothing bears witness, because for them, they've never turned their life over to him. He isn't their Lord. Something else is their Lord. See, if he is Lord, that means he's in first place. That means that life has been submitted to him. That means that everything's been turned over to him, and that he is that. If somebody hasn't done that, then they're still on the throne of their own lives. So, and it's just...
There are parts in your life that you kind of take time to let go of.
Okay, people have struggles, but see, also too, there is that limitation that some people will go further with him than others. But, for each person, they have to seek him for themselves. They have to know him for themselves. See, it's an individual walk. It's not a collective walk. You know, the world does collectivism. Communism, the perfect religion for the world. One big fat collective, and everybody come get your bowl of soup at the same time. And it's like, you know, the world though, that's the way the world works. God is absolutely individual, and yet every person as an individual will, because he says the kingdom is not, alright, check this out. Luke chapter 17 and verse 20 says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom is within you, within the individual, within the person. And what happens is that this walk in spirit will take you deeper and deeper and deeper within the core of who you are, past every layer of mind control, every hurt, every obstacle that you've ever faced, even in your own personality, or desires you may have, or things that it'll keep taking you past through all of those things until you come to the very core, which inside it's really him in the end. Where within it's just, that's what you meet, is him within you, and you being one with him. It's kind of like the onion. You know, you just peel back the... So God gave us this beautiful vegetable for an analogy. If you keep peeling off those layers, each time you go, it's just another deeper place, deeper layer. But the path of spirit keeps taking you through those. So it's a commitment to get past that, versus those that say, all right, no, this is good enough, I stay here. So no, we don't all get it right straight off the bat, but we commit to the leading of the Spirit so that whatever it takes, we will go that way. But for a person, you have to seek Him. You have to cry out to Him. You cry out to the One that made you and say, God, I don't know You, or I'm not sure if I know You, or you know, maybe I've never known You truly all my entire life, you know, and I've known things about You, but I've really never known You. You're the One that made all of this. You're the One that made me. If whatever I'm missing, show me. If I'm missing it, show me. I really want to know You for myself. And You know what it takes to make Yourself real to me. Just show me, Lord. That's really all you can do. That's the place you have to start. Is just calling out to Him. Is to say, God, make Yourself real to me. Show me what it is that it's going to take for me to know You. And then allow, and then what happens is tremendous place to start, because then God reveals Himself to that person on an individual level. And He shows them. And so then, also then too, it's real. It's real for them because they know Him for themselves. Versus somebody telling you, oh, okay, you're okay because you've done this. You see the difference. And then now it's like, and now your faith is contingent on somebody telling you that you're okay with God, when really within your own heart you don't feel any different. You know, they said that you got to get baptized, so you went and you did all of the stuff because you were told that you needed to, and so you went down a wet devil, you came back up a wet devil. It's like there's no difference. There's just, you just got wet, but it's like, but really in your heart and your spirit, the Spirit of God has to lead you. The Spirit of God, see, when somebody submits their life to the Spirit of God, He will lead and guide them through this life. And everything will be directed by Him. Now, for a world that's seeking to create a collective, they can't have that. They can't have you as an individual listening to the voice of the Spirit of God as He would lead and direct you, because you can't be controlled then. How can you be controlled if tomorrow God says, all right, now I want to send you to Afghanistan? No, because they want you locked into a career track, and they want to know where you're going to be on Tuesday and where you buy your groceries and how much you spend on average so that they can market to you better. You see what I'm saying? Versus if you are led by the Spirit of God, it's like they can't plan anything around you, because the chance of you of something coming, that it's like you don't compute, you don't fit their system. And you can in fact destroy their entire system, because by you existing, your existence shows people there's another way. Your existence shows people that they don't have to sell their soul to the system to be, or to exist, or to know life. And there is true life available. So that's why they try so hard to keep you out, to kill you, to oppress you. If not, or if worst case scenario, then they just want to try to use you up, you know. But somehow, they're doing whatever they. Jesus said, "If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first." So the world hated Jesus. It hated Him, the world system. Now many went after Him because also they were His. So those that were His came to Him. But the rest of them, like, we got to get rid of this guy. And they do the same thing actually with God's people to this day. Those that are His, those that are God's, they, it bears witness in their soul. They know, you know a brother or sister in Christ when you meet them. You've met somebody that knows the Father, and you may have talked to them for like 5 minutes. You meet them someplace, and just like you've known them for ages. It's like you've known them through, because you have actually, in spirit, because there is no time in eternity. You've known those people throughout all eternity, and so you meet somebody that's one of His, and it's like you meet a brother or a sister in Christ that, you know, you just, it's like, gosh, I've always known you. So that's why too, it's like there's a freedom with those that are truly His. There's not a bondage with them. There's not a oppression. There's not a seeking and desire to try to control each other. It's just like, so nice to see you again. How have you been? You know, and you're all walking out that role that He has for you while you're within the earth. See, again, the scriptures compare the followers of Christ to the body of Christ. In a body, you have different organs that do different things. They have different functions, they have different purposes. And in order for the body to function correctly, they have to do the purpose that they were made for in the first place. So, if my kidney tries to start pumping blood and says, oh, the heart, look, the heart's been working 24/7 since I can remember, let me try to help it out. And if it tries to pump blood, I'll be in big trouble because my kidneys aren't doing what they're supposed to. And likewise, if my liver says, oh, okay, I want to try to see, you know, it's not made to do that. It can't be an eye. So, I mean, yeah, we laugh, but it's every person is uniquely designed as an individual by the Father. And so with that individual design, the Spirit of God works through the individual to end up making the body of Christ. And so each individual person, if they're allowed by the free will of the person to submit to it completely in the walk of the Spirit, they will come to a place of spiritual maturity where all of that gifting and talent and everything that God has put in them is allowed to flourish and come out in a way that it's just like, it's just a glorification of God in the earth, like a master painting. You know, that person's life becomes that in a specific way. Whereas what the world does is says, oh, okay, this person has certain gifts and talents that I can use to build my corporation or build my business or build my government or build. So they want to use what they see God has put in you to enhance the collective. Whereas God says, no, this is not for them. It's for me, for my purposes, but you have to walk that out with Him. Now, we're in the world, but we're not of it, but we're still here. So He puts us here, but in order to avoid the traps and the pitfalls that the world sets there at every corner for you, you have to walk in the Spirit so that He can lead and navigate you through it. And in all the meantime, He's continuing to equip, build you up. Some stuff, yeah, you do get some shots and damage and things like that, but even when that happens too, not a big deal, because even God allows for that, because that still strengthens us even more. And those just chip away again at the externals and reveals more of Christ in us. So, making sense? Yes, okay, cool. Very good. So this, what we're going to go into through this time, it's useful for those that are committed to walking this out with Him. So, it has to be that commitment. So, maybe we'll just start on just one point today, and then we'll close it out because it's getting close to time already. Whew, man, time goes fast. Okay, so how do you do this? How do you walk life out with the Spirit? Because let's go back to what Jesus said. He said, all right, I want to touch on a few more scriptures first. Jesus said that the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Okay, keep that one in your mind. Let me flip to John 10, John 10, verse 3 and 4 says, to him the porter, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So, you have, Jesus said, those that are born of the Spirit, they go, they're like the wind, they go, you don't know where they're coming from, where they're going, they're moving a certain way. And then he also said, regarding his sheep, that they hear his voice and they follow him. So the correlation is that and they also won't follow the voice of a stranger. They won't go in another direction, because though it might look good, sound good, it's still not the voice of their creator. It's still not the voice of the one that they know, that they trust, that they truly follow. So all right. So I'll give you one point for this for today, and then we'll stop here. Okay, how do you do this? How do you walk in spirit? All right. One key one to begin with for today. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Says, and verse 24 says, and then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, so here you go, the Spirit, that they're like the wind, you don't know where they're coming from, where they're going, so is everyone born of the Spirit. Jesus said, if you, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, so now, if you're going to follow him, you're going after him, right? All right. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man came in the glory of his Father with his angels, and the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there are some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Okay. Main part for this is, if any man come after me, let him take up his cross, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Alright. So, some things here. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and then he talks about, and the reason that people wouldn't do that is because they don't want to die. Jesus is going somewhere when he took up his cross. He's going to die. And they don't want to die to this world or to what it is that they think there are in this world. But Jesus also warned. He said, look, if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for his sake, if whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. That's the only way to truly find real life, is to lose it for Christ. And then he also puts it into context and says, alright, and let's also be logical about this. What do you profit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for a soul? So the most valuable thing there is that you will ever know within your free will to affect and be is the soul that you have within you. And that is worth more than the entire world. And so what do you get if you gain everything that's in the world but you lost your soul in the process? It's like you got gypped. Even if you got the whole thing, you still missed out. You gave that which was eternal for that which is temporal. You gave that which has everlasting value for that which has limited time-stamped value on it, that's passing away. So it's not a smart deal. It's a really, really bad deal. It's a bad, bad transaction, bad idea, bad, just bad. Okay, but this thing about denying yourself, people have twisted it to mean all kinds of things. Okay, it doesn't mean going without chocolates for 40 days in Lent. You know, that's not denying yourself. Okay, what it means to deny yourself, it simply means this: His way, not mine. Every day. That's it. That's all it means. His way, not mine. Every day, for the rest of life here. That's what Jesus practiced. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, your way. Lord, your plan, your purpose. That's it. So to deny yourself is basically saying, Lord, your will, your plan, that's it. Your will, not mine. That's all it is. So what people have twisted that to be is all kinds of, they've created all sorts of other new religions even around that, and religious rituals around denying yourself. No, that's not it. It's just purely, Lord, your will, your way, your plan, not mine. That's to deny yourself. You deny what would be in yourself and your choice for what it is that he says, this is my will and my choice for you. And that's how you follow him. So unless you do that, you can't follow the leading of his spirit. You can't follow the voice of him, because you'll be going back to self. So does that? Oh yeah, cool. So let's stop there. So we'll pick it up from this point next week. But this is the path of peace. This is the path of rest. This is the path of purpose. This is the path that you have to go if you're going to navigate through the minefield of this world, especially now in the times that we're living in, because the world is out of control at this point. Cannot figure out how to fix one of its own problems. The only ones with the solutions are the children of God. Now, many of them are kept from being in places where they can actually apply those solutions, but they really are the ones with the answers, because they're the ones connected to the one that has the answers. But the world is seeking to keep them out, because again, if they're allowed in, people get free. So they have to try to keep them at a distance and to marginalize them. But they still know that it's like, alright, these are still the ones that have, they got the goods. So, but this is the way that we must walk at this point, for sure. So we're going to spend some time talking about kind of a foundation for it, so that those that kind of pick up on this, give them as much as we can, so that they're prepped to walk this thing out with him. So we know about the world now. Now we're walking the path of spirit. Cool. Stop there.